So what if the anxiety you've spent your whole life trying to overcome never actually started with you? What if the fear, overwhelm, people pleasing, or constant need to stay on high alert wasn't your personality at all, but a pattern that you inherited before you ever had a chance to choose differently? Today, we're diving into one of the most fascinating conversations we've ever had on the show. Because if what our guest shares is true, healing isn't about fixing yourself. It's about uncovering what was never yours to carry in the first place. Our guest today is Tracy Liberatore, founder of Med Legal Pro and Walk As Her. So Tracy has lived an extraordinary life. She's an attorney, a certified hypnotherapist, and someone whose journey through addiction recovery and profound personal transformation led her to a mission that is literally changing lives. Today, she helps women uncover the subconscious patterns that quietly shape their lives, patterns rooted in childhood, family systems, and even generations before them. Her work combines neuroscience, nervous system regulation, hypnotherapy, and deep subconscious healing to help women stop surviving and finally begin living. So if you ever wondered why you keep repeating the same relationship patterns, why anxiety seems to live in your body no matter how much personal development you've done, or why you know what to do, but you still can't seem to change, this conversation is for you. Tracy, welcome back to the show. So awesome meeting you. I know you've been on the show before. We're so happy to have you back. This is a really important conversation.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I mean, your professional journey is one that most people wouldn't really expect. How did your own life lead you into this work that I just talked about?
Yeah, so my awakening had come through, as you said, the addiction. And so going through that whole process as a professional was sort of a different process, I guess, if you will, than not being, because you had a license and you had to go through, run, jump through many hoops. But through that process, I really was just trying to figure out, like, why was I like this? Why was I having these issues? Why was I having this issue with alcohol? Because I felt like it was something deeper. And so my journey through trying to figure that out for myself is what led me to the discovery of what helped me, and then wanting to be able to kind of give that back and do it for other people.
So the awakening happened. Can you tell us a little bit about your awakening?
Yeah, so as I said, I came through an addiction with alcohol, and it really was the first time that the world was kind of taken out from underneath my feet, or my world anyway. And through that whole process, I really started to examine again the why. And so I read New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, and that was really the beginning of my sort of starting to understand that my ego personality was here and it was trying to cling to all these things. I was Tracy. I was a PA. I wanted the house and the car and, like, you know, the stuff that society tells us that we need to have. But really, there was a bigger part of me that was kind of running in the background of all of that, you know, outside of the chaos here on Earth, right? And so coming to understand that, it made it easier for me to kind of move forward through and understand what I was going through. And not be so attached to all those things that I thought were so important for me to have to hold on to because it was my identity. And that was really the first, we'll say, burning down of and release of the identity that I thought I was carrying, who I thought I was.
Yeah, I can relate to that 100%. I openly talk about my addiction on the show as well. And I spent, I mean, most of my life addicted to substances and this feeling of like needing to overperform and that I wouldn't be successful until I had all of those things and that my life was just going to be about working hard. And that if I wasn't working hard or if I wasn't like hustling, I wasn't enough. And so even when I got sober, I spent 10 years trying to figure out why I still didn't feel good. Like what, why did I still look for other things to fill my life? When you started healing yourself, what was the moment like for you when you realized that you weren't just healing yourself, that you were discovering something that was so much bigger than that?
Mine came through a spiritual regression, a life between life regression. And during that session, I had gone into, like, you know, the Akashic Records area and into the planning area. And the process was that I started to understand that I came here. A part of what I wanted to do was, well, I'm learning about letting go and learn about not having all to need to control everything. But a big part of it was to beat this addiction, because it's been something that's been running in through my ancestry for many, many, you know, years, eons, whatever you want to call it, decades. And so part of what I did when I had gone into spirit realm was to heal the ancestry, because at that point I had been sober here. And so part of what I came to do is, if I can get sober, then I can do it for the entire genetic line and I could clean it and clear it out. And so when I went for that first session and I went in front of all the ancestors and the souls that were there and did that clearing, it was my first encounter with like standing in front of people like that. And I just remember being so like overwhelmed and humbled, and like all of these people that were so grateful and thankful that I had done this for them and for the ancestry. And it was just my first encounter with it, like I said. And that was the moment when I thought, like, geez, if I can do this for me, this is what I want to be able to do for other people. Like, I wanted to be able to facilitate these sessions. And so I actually went and trained with the person that did my session, and, you know, kind of went from there.
Yeah, it's so interesting. People don't realize. Do you think that there's often a chosen one in a lineage, like in a family lineage, that is kind of put here to change patterns? Or do you feel like we're all kind of here to do that?
I do. I think that, you know, at least in my case, there was that. And I think there's a chosen one because sometimes for the choices that we make here, and if we come here with these intentions and they don't go through, either you're going to do it again, or maybe they'll pick somebody else, you know, in that family unit to do it again, in the soul family unit to try again. There's many people that, for whatever reason, don't come through the awakening and don't get to that point. And so whatever you were meant to do when you were here gets missed, and it's a lesson that needs to be repeated and learned, because your soul wants to grow. Your soul wants to learn these things. So, and that's why I feel this calling to really like help other people awaken to their purpose, their life purpose, their nature. Like, why are you here? What is your purpose? What did you come to want to do? And bringing people into spirit so that they can discover that, you know, for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. We have so many lives that we've lived. Like, people don't even understand, or a lot of people don't understand how deep it goes. And so I'm also into all of that stuff, and I've traveled back to many different past lives and discovered a lot of things about myself and where I've been. And I feel like the more that we discover about our past lives and our families and ancestors, the more that we understand ourselves. And so one thing you say is that healing isn't about becoming someone new. What do you mean by that?
Because what I have found for me, for example, is I have two different personalities. There's the Tracy that's here on Earth, and there's the soul part of me, which her name is Hasiana. So Hasiana wants to be out there, public. She's got a message. She wants to talk. She wants everybody to see her. Tracy wants to hide and not be seen and kind of just stay and do her stuff. And like, so there's this constant fight within me for visibility, because part of me really wants it and the other part really doesn't. And so when you can understand that better, you could sort of see the pieces as they work, and then it helps you to just overcome that part of you, that kind of earthbound part of you, the ego part of you, the human part of you that's scared and fearful, because there's a bigger purpose over here of something that needs to be done. And so when the ego is afraid because it says, this is dangerous, this is scary, you're connected to this higher part of you that's like, no, there's a bigger reason why we need to be doing this. And it helps you just be able to step forward. And the visibility thing is a big thing that I've suffered under myself as a more recent thing that I've started talking about as well.
Right. The visibility, like being seen.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think this is a perfect time to bring up the anxiety piece then. I think one of the things that grabbed my attention of your work is your belief that anxiety isn't something that we develop. It also can be inherited. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, so I've started talking about what I'm calling the silent inheritance. And I don't remember if I had talked about this last time, but it's basically, you know, the things that we inherit from our parents that we don't even know that we're picking up. So we might understand that we're getting money, a house, or some of the more material things. But there's a lot of behavioral patterns, belief systems, and different things that we pick up and carry, even as a society, that we don't even realize that we're carrying. And it's stuff that we even carry from one life to the next until it's healed. And so the anxiety is just something, it's part of that. And really what it is, it's our human mind trying to either predict the future, worry about the past, or some combination of those things. And I've also watched people in my life, and I look at one of my exes, for example, had a very anxious mother and was constantly like, you know, would call him, what are you doing? Like, just needed to talk to him every day. And just there was this always sort of, no matter what, you know, you had going on, it was the type of person that always had a story of something worse, right? And so she is now passed. But as I'm watching things happen in real time, it's like he has sort of now developed that same, like I'm watching his mother through him, like, you know, and now the anxieties that he's kind of carrying forward through her. And even just as you watch people and observe things, you could see it, the patterns of like the parent, how the, and it's like, do they even see it? Do they recognize it? And I don't know that they do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you also talk about our mother's nervous system being our first environment. What impact does that have on us?
Well, there's, you know, and depending on what happens in the womb, if the mother goes through a stressful situation, there's all the, you know, the cortisol and the hormones that hit the baby. There's different studies on that. But really, you know, in the womb, you're part of your mother, right? And so you pick up all of these things. And I think people don't realize, because we don't have a conscious memory of being in the womb. But when you put somebody into hypnosis, we can regress back to the womb. And then people can really go and see, my mother felt this way when she was pregnant with me. You could even look at, my father felt this way about my mother being pregnant. And it's interesting to see and find out the different things that kind of happen and how we pick up some of these patterns so early on, even from pregnancy.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I think that's where a lot of frustration comes from, because so many people, including myself, get stuck. Like, I am so self-aware. Like, I understand why I'm the way I am. I understand, you know, my mom has some anxiety, and I know why I do the things I do. And I've done all of the things, as many people have, you know, we read the books, we listen to the podcasts, we understand all of the things, yet nothing really changes. Can you explain why that is? What's the difference between intellectual awareness and true healing?
Understanding it is one thing, and you could certainly fight against it better and when you're aware of it. But the body and the nervous system acts like this, like before the thought, the body's reacting, right? And so the thing that I have come to understand too with this process is, again, going through in hypnosis, is kind of going back to the root source of where this whole thing was created. Because the reaction is basically your subconscious mind trying to keep you safe and keep you alive. I mean, that's what it really boils down to. And so at some point during this life or another life, you created this thought, belief that creates the outcome that you're experiencing, and it comes out as anxiety or however that might come out. So if you go back to the source of where this was created, and you can see the problem as it was created and heal that, because through hypnosis, you can go through and heal that. You can, there's different parts that will come up in hypnosis, different parts of us, the child. And so, for example, if you go back to a childhood memory where some belief system was created and you can interact with that child, and say the belief system was picked up from mom. This child, you can then speak to mom in this space, and you can even take the position of mom and understand why mom might have done X, Y, and Z thing. And that understanding on that deeper level, and then the healing that can happen between child and mom on the spiritual soul level in this space is what helps heal us here now in this life.
Yeah, I was doing this. I got my mastery in Reiki, and I was doing this meditation on connecting to the mother. And right after I finished it, my mom called me, and it was like so random. And I was like, wow, we're so much more powerful than we even know. Like, and we're all so connected. And I also realized that as I was healing those relationships and things within myself, that my family was also changing. And I think that's another thing to realize is that we're such a, our outside world is such a reflection of our inner world. So the more work that we do, people can feel that energy and then things start shifting. I was just online quickly and I saw someone complaining that, you know, my internet was down last night. Of course, this only happens to me kind of thing. And if they continue having that attitude, it's going to continue happening to them over and over and over and over again because they're simply creating it by putting that out into the universe. That's the way that I think of things anyway. How do you feel about that? And what role does the body, or why does the body continue reacting long after we've gone through these things?
So, well, let's see. The first question is, anybody that has like the feeling that something is happening to them is giving their power away. Hmm. Because life's not happening to us. We are the creator of our reality. I know I've heard a lot of people say, oh, I have bad luck and this and that. But I think a lot of times it's what we tend to focus on. And you're right. If we are thinking about certain things, we tend to call those things more to us. So I always try to point out if it's a person, you know, in my life that I feel I have this luck or that luck. Every time something good happens, I say, I will remind them. Now here's something that's good. Let's focus on that, right? Instead of all of the bad things. But I think as humans, we tend to do that. We tend to see the bad and forget the good. And I think it's a state of mind and something that can be shifted with some practice.
I guess maybe you could give us like a real life example of how you worked with someone to help them work through these patterns that our subconscious mind has. Do you have a client story that you could share with us? On maybe an example of how you bring them back into the past, their past lives, or, you know, their records and what that does and how they've changed.
So, I mean, there's specifically clients that I've had that are entrepreneurs, we'll say. I know one specifically does more work within like the witch area. So she does a thing called Wealthy Witches. And I had a session with her, and I won't go into too much detail because, again, I don't want to violate any HIPAA stuff. But essentially, it was really just the discovery of, and she's been pretty public with her stuff too, the discovery of just what had happened to her in a past life and how she had gone through and seen where she was this oracle, essentially, and that her community had looked to her for different things. And she ended up, she was doing a lot of work in that life. A lot of her information came through dreams. And so she ended up being murdered in that life because she was able to see that the head of the community was poisoning the water of these people and a bunch of different things that had happened. And so when she had gone through her death in that life, she thought that the crowd was around there watching her and celebrating her being put to death. But when she moved into the spirit, she was able to turn around and see that those people were actually there supporting her. They were very upset about what had happened because, you know, she was passing. This had happened to her and she was somebody that was integral for them in their community. I've been trying to stop some of this other crap that was going on, so to speak. But what it did for her in discovering, so we were able to take the gifts from that life of her oracle self with the dreams and the information and bring that through now to this life. And so she's actually opened a part of her practice that she does dream interpretation because now she has all this other stuff kind of flowing through for her. So that's one example.
So is it the awareness piece? The reason I ask that is because I do this work too. And so I had a client that had severe neck pain and she had surgeries and her neck pain keeps coming back. And I was working on her and I actually went into a past life that saw, and what I saw was that she had jumped off a cliff and had broken her neck jumping off this cliff, surrounded by a group of people that she was trying to belong to. And so she had this pattern of never feeling like she belonged anywhere. And so she jumped off this cliff to dive into the water to try and, you know, fit in or to impress them. And while she did that, she ended up breaking her neck in several pieces. And the group of people helped her and pulled her out and nursed her back to life and supported her. And it was just the awareness of that that had shifted everything. So when we were done and as time went on, the neck pain dissipated, which I found so interesting. So is it the awareness piece? Is it visiting that time? Like, how does it change real life?
I think that there's a lot of that. So I've had several situations where, for example, someone was afraid to take a shower and have the water hit them in the face. And so then they realized they'd gone to a past life where they drowned. And so when they realized that that's where it was coming from, they're like, oh, well, this is just an irrational fear based on that. So yes, the recognition piece. I've had people with infertility, for example, who have gone back to childhood memories they don't consciously have, but in hypnosis, again, sitting on their mother's hip, listening to mom talk on the phone about how painful childbirth was and, oh my God, it almost killed me. And so they formed a belief that, you know, having children is dangerous. It might kill me. And so they couldn't have kids, even though they really wanted to. So just going back and understanding that and being able to clear those beliefs is really what it is. It's a belief inside somewhere in the mind, in the subconscious, somewhere in your aura that you're carrying. There's a bunch of different things that I've studied as to where these things are held. But really just understanding that the belief has no foundation or basis in reality. It's not something that is affecting you now. And in fact, you really want the opposite of what this belief is having you hold on to. And the ability to change that belief is what creates the change and allows for the gates to open up. And so again, for this person to be able to get pregnant, or this person can now swim in the water and take a shower and it's completely fine. It's the changing of the belief underneath. I mean, this is just a symptom, really, of something that's deeper, is what it is.
Yeah, it's really interesting because there's, like we talked about earlier, there's the understanding and the knowing, but then not being able to change it. And I think it comes down to that. It's like the switch moment where you can believe something and tell yourself something, but not actually believe it. And so it's like the embodiment piece.
It's the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. And so I'm sure you've heard this example before. The conscious mind, if we had to consciously think about our heart beating and breathing, we'd be dead.
Uh-huh.
The subconscious mind controls all of this stuff. So you have to cure it. You have to get to the place in the subconscious mind, and the subconscious mind has to understand it. And the language of the subconscious is emotion. So we can know something consciously all day and all night, but doesn't mean your subconscious mind is on board as well.
Yes, 100%. So frustrating. Do you think repetition is key, or is it going back and figuring out the why? Like, what is the biggest piece in all that?
So I've done some training in somatic work, which is that repetition, you know, kind of going through it, repeating the stuff that as you're going through it and bringing through the emotion. And there is certainly a lot of people that heal from that, and it is great work. But I've also worked with people who get to a point with that practice that are stuck, that really need to go deeper. And the subconscious work, which why I like it so much, is because you can do so much in one session and you can get so much accomplished. So that's sort of why that's my favorite thing to do, because the results are just amazing. Yeah.
Going for the jugular.
Yeah, both for myself and for my clients. I mean, I have a past life, a spiritual regression every 3 or 4 months myself, just to stay connected and see if there's anything else I need to be in tune with that I'm missing out on. I mean, it's just part of my life now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to talk a little bit more about these patterns and essentially about the inner child in all of us that never seems to leave us. So you talk about these protective parts of ourselves. What do you mean by that? What are these protective parts, and what are these protective parts actually trying to do?
Usually, there's a part of us that is causing a symptom in our life today as an adult that was created somewhere in childhood, that was formed, the belief system was formed around some event that happened in childhood. For example, a session that I had. I was 4 years old. I was at a playground. I remember, you know, being very uncomfortable in this playground. And consciously, I don't know that I remember this event as much, but, you know, during one of my sessions, again, I went back to this. And so I just remember feeling so like, I don't fit in here. I don't want to be around these other kids. I want to be back home with my mom. I want to be where I feel safe. And so through this, you know, the belief system that's formed is, you know, being public or being whatever out of the house is not safe. And then from there, I was able to progress through and see, like, I wanted to bring my baby blanket with me to this class that day. And my mother said, no, you need to grow up. You can't be bringing this thing. And so like there was a whole nother layer of lack of comfort and familiarity. And really, you know, all I wanted to do as that four-year-old girl was go sit on that swing and swing on that swing and feel my hair flying free and the freedom of feeling like I was flying, right? And so what transpired through all of this is that like in my adult life, I'm looking constantly for like, I just want to feel freedom. I want to travel and I want to do all these things. And so it was kind of the connected piece. And so there was that part of me that formed this belief that there's no peace to be had. There was no safety in all of this stuff because, you know, I was looking to my mother for answers and I was told I needed to grow up and I wasn't supposed to act like this. And so as all of this transpired, I have come to learn through this stuff too, that feeling, that freedom of being on the swing with the butterflies in your stomach and just that pure joy, that childhood joy, is the feeling I was chasing when I was drinking. That's what I wanted. I wanted to feel that feeling again. And as an adult, I didn't know how to get there. But when I had my first drink, I figured it out. And so the brain remembers, right? And the brain never forgets. So it's like, that's why I kept chasing that feeling as an adult. When reality is, all I wanted to do was reconnect to that child.
Yeah, wow. It's so interesting. It's making me think of this. It's going to sound so silly, but me and my partner went to a drive-through. It was like super late. It was a Friday night. It was date night and we were craving a burger, but the restaurant was closed. You could only go through the drive-through, but we were on our bikes. And so we went on our bikes through the drive-through. They took our order. And then when we got to get our food and pay, the manager was there and said, you know, you guys aren't allowed to do this on your bikes for whatever ABCDE reason. And after that, we never attempted that again because that one situation made us believe we had this belief that every single drive-through would not allow us to go through on our bikes and get a drive-through order that way, which makes sense because it's dangerous. There's cars involved. Anyway, last weekend, we were coming home from a football game. And again, we were on our bikes and we were hungry and we tried to get into a restaurant. And they asked us to go through the drive-through because the restaurant part was closed. And so we went through the drive-through on our bikes and got our food and no questions were asked. And then I looked at him and I said, wow, this totally just blew my mind because I literally adopted this thought that every single drive-through in my city and our city is not going to allow us to go through on our bikes and get the food. But that changed everything. So I literally said, what else are we limiting ourselves to by all these beliefs that we adopt? It was so interesting. That's what that reminds me of.
Yeah, it's true. And it's true. It's such a little thing like that. And it leaves such an imprint. And it's like, you know, sometimes we can't find that imprint. But like you said, now you knew where it came from, right? And so now you had a different experience. But that's what the brain does. It creates patterns and it tries to predict the future based on the past. And it's not always accurate.
Yeah. Where does
people pleasing... Again, going back to where the anxiety comes from. It's your brain trying to predict the future based on the past event. Did you have anxiety going through the drive-thru?
Yeah, and that's a shit storm waiting to happen.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But did you have anxiety when you went through the drive-thru even after they told you to on your bike that second time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I felt so weird and I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop, essentially.
That's right. See, isn't that amazing? Even though they told you to do it, you're carrying that anxiety. Yeah, but that's exactly right because your brain is telling you, no, 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 this is bad. This is dangerous. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's phenomenal. So where does people-pleasing and perfectionism and hypervigilance develop in the first place?
I think, again, and I've had a lot of this in my life, and you could tell by the degrees and always constantly having to do the next thing and the next thing. I think it's been a very big part of my life. And again, I think it develops somewhere in childhood that you're trying to prove yourself to maybe one parent or the other, you know, that you are the good girl or the this or the that, or that you're worthy of their love and praise, right? And I think a lot of us just don't get that from one or the other parent. And for me, it was one parent. I mean, and I even look at it as my kids, and I try to do everything I can to prevent, because I know the work I do, how much we carry this into adulthood. But it's like, it's one of those things that one of the parents withholds love, affection, or something. And so for whatever reason, we feel like, that's the one person. If I can for somehow, some way figure out how to get this one person's attention, or get this person's approval and love, I will finally be X, Y, and Z thing. And I've seen it in my own life. And even with like the men I choose and stuff, it's like, why do we chase these men that don't want to give us their attention?
Uh-huh.
It's always the thing you can't have that you want, right? And again, I think it's just a shifting of the belief, because why do I focus on one parent that wants to say that you're not good enough for me versus the other millions of people in my life that are like, wow, everything you've done is amazing. Your work is amazing. Why do I choose this one parent, right? It's a choice.
Yeah.
Focus on the rest. Leave that one.
Yeah, it's so interesting that I've in the past chosen partners that were emotionally unavailable or narcissistic. And yes. Thinking back, I'm like, why did I care so much about this person's approval? Like, where does that come from? And so I went back and checked that out, and it had to do with the relationship I had with my father and my father's relationship with his father. And so, I mean, it went back many, many generations. But I also see all this stuff on social media, and it just like makes me shake my head. It's like, how to get his attention, how to play the game so that he will pay attention to you. It's like, if someone's not paying attention to you, move on to the next. Yeah, like, it exactly. Doesn't have to be difficult or complicated. That's the thing, is I think we think, or for me, I'll say subconsciously, I used to feel like things needed to be difficult in order to be successful. So you work really hard to get the thing. But now it's like, now I know that good things come to me because I deserve them. And so it doesn't have to be hard.
Right. The pushing and the proving and all that stuff, and the constantly being, like, I have to earn my ability to sit down and watch TV at night, but doing X, Y, and Z 100 things throughout the day. Like, no. And that's another pattern of mine that I have worked on diligently to change. I don't have to earn a break or earn to watch TV. Mm-mm. But again, I think it's something that you're taught as a child, right? Well, you're not allowed to watch TV until you do X, Y, and Z thing. And as a parent, we're trying to instill good, that's what I'm looking for. Behaviors, I guess, if you will. Because I've done a lot of studying too on, like, what they always say, the rich people do the things that are the things they don't like first thing in the morning when they get up, and get them out of the way, essentially. And so we try to teach our kids that, and it's in the best interest. But again, is there a belief that's formed in learning all of this that I have to earn my ability to rest and relax? Now, again, everything is in moderation too, right? We don't want to just sit around on the couch all day and never get anything done, like some teenagers might want to do. My daughter's turning into a teenager soon. So it's like, if you don't get on them to do stuff, they're going to just not do anything. And so it's, again, it's always about balance. It always comes back to that.
Absolutely. How do we give, like, those roles, like people-pleasing, anxiety, perfectionism, hypervigilance, a new role instead of letting them continue to run our lives?
Yeah. So again, this is a big part of the work that I do with the clients in hypnosis. And when you go to that part in hypnosis and you find the part that is creating these issues, that is exactly the process that I go to. What can this part do now? Because it's a very strong part of you. It's created all these things that have happening in your life. How can this part now explain to it what you want, and how can it now help you instead of working against you in your life? And that's exactly what we do, is turn it around and give it a new job. For the most part, sometimes there's people that want to release it and send things back to where they came. And it depends on the situation, but that is integrating the part into something more positive is a huge part of the work.
Yeah, for sure. It's for using it for the greater good instead of letting it kind of be a handicap for us. I would love to go back to the relationship aspect of things, because this is something that is affecting a lot of people. And I mean, I see it affects a lot of women mainly, but I'm sure it affects a lot of men too. Or what does narcissistic abuse actually do to the nervous system?
Yeah, so I can tell you firsthand on that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, and tell us a little bit of your story.
To the extent that I can, without getting myself in trouble, I have been in a relationship with a narcissistic person, and I didn't know it until I got out of it, to be honest with you. But what it does is it just creates an anxiety. And I noticed it with myself, like something that you carry in the body all the time, because what this person does is they constantly just kind of sit there and make you feel like you're the reason for all the problems all the time. And if you allow that in and you start to believe it, And then that becomes part of who you are. You just kind of feel like, I can't do anything right. And then, you know, if a message comes through from this person, I could tell you firsthand that it's like my body goes into like anxiety and reaction and like the heart races. And I didn't even read the message yet. I just know that there's a notification and I'm already nervous, right? Because you're just anticipating this constant, never ending barrage of like, and it's so twisted how easily they turn the simplest thing into something so negative. But I think once you're aware of the pattern and you could see it, this is something that, again, on a conscious level, I think is being able to handle in the body. But just, I like to try to do breath work. I do the four in, the hold for four and release for eight. And that reminds me of the ocean, which is why I like that pattern. But anybody that's breathing like that is not being chased by a lion. So your body tends to then relax. And if you can, it stops the mind from running and trying to, again, predict the future, which causes the anxiety in the body, and try to pre-guess what's happening. And then once you can go from a calm position, then you open the message and then you kind of look at it. But it's something that if you've lived with it repeatedly for a long time, day in and day out, it's carried in your body. And it's something that you need to work on to sort of get rid of. And then the other part that I do is when I do my regressions is I go into the spirit realm and I go to that person's spirit and I talk to them about what's going on down here and ask them to try to help make some changes. And you know, so sometimes things get better that way too.
Yeah. Do you think the body recognizes danger before the conscious mind does? So what I mean by that is like your body was reacting to that person and you didn't even like open a message yet. So does the body know when it's in danger before the mind does?
The body does know. Then I'm writing about this too in my newer book that's going to be coming out about this nervous system and stuff, because I think it is so important to get it kind of all in one place, I guess, if you will. But yes, I do feel like the body recognizes it. But at the same time, the mind is creating this reaction through something that's not even, doesn't need to be an anxiety reaction, right? And so that's why kind of learning it subconsciously, understanding, clearing it, but then also working in the body to clear it. So that's the other piece of all of this is when you're in hypnosis, and you could do this not even in hypnosis, it's an NLP procedure. Just whenever these things come up, where am I feeling this in the body? And really just feeling and knowing, you can close your eyes and feel into that space and give it a color, give it a texture. Does it have a smell? Is there a sound? And really see what it's like. And then you yourself can go into that space. And once you got a handle on it, kind of bring it forth into your, with your eyes closed, bring it forward and ask it what it needs. Sometimes it just needs to be seen. It needs to be understood. It needs to be, you know, and then ask it what it needs to feel better. And usually you can work through that process and kind of release some of this stuff. And it may take time. It may take a lot of repetition. It's not going to probably happen the first time you do it, but you will see a decrease in, you know, the severity of it.
Absolutely. How do we recognize what fear is and what reality is? So, like, for example, when I healed from my narcissistic abusive relationships, or when I was healing, I should say, I got into a really healthy relationship, but I still felt anxious and I still felt guilty if I needed time to myself. And like, my body was still reacting to things that weren't real. How do we tell the difference between what reality is and what is actually happening?
Yeah. And I think that's really going to be a case by case basis almost, right? I mean, and it's really going to be the person needs to sort of evaluate. And for me, because I'm in a similar situation, looking at like the difference between the two and kind of like what you said, you kind of hone in on where is this coming from? This feeling of, you know, lack of trust, or even maybe you can't even feel like you can open up and love somebody again because you're so hurt and that part of you is just shut down because you don't want to be hurt again. And it's a conscious choice that we all get to make. Do I want to, is it worth it for me to feel this love and to have this connection and risk the pain? Or was the pain so great that I don't want to? And I think that's up to every person individually to make that choice. I mean, it's not something somebody else can make for you. And if it's a choice that you make, then you can certainly have the ability to change it, because each of us are the masters of our own destiny and we control our lives.
Definitely. Definitely. Do you think healing the nervous system is key? Can healing the nervous system change the kind of lives that we lead and the kind of relationships that we attract?
So, I mean, healing the nervous system and the subconscious, I think they go together. Yeah, because there's also, I mean, a lot of people talk about abundance and money and all this stuff. And, you know, the ability to, a lot of people say, well, I want to make a lot of money. But when you really look at it, you know, underneath all of it, there's some self-sabotaging behavior that's going on that's not allowing you to do that. You know, well, I created this thing. Well, did you put it out there? Well, no. Well, why didn't you put it out there? Well, I'm afraid somebody might say something negative about it. Okay, well, you want to make money, but you don't want to do the thing. I mean, if you want it out there, negative comments come with the territory, unfortunately. And there's going to be a lot of people that don't like you, but there's going to be a lot that do. So, and then again, each individual has to, is it worth it to me to do that? And that's, again, where the visibility piece comes in, right?
Absolutely. I love the, before we get into more about the work that you do, I want to talk more about our ancestors and healing ourselves and how that impacts other people in our lives. So one of the most hopeful things that you say is that healing ourselves doesn't change our lives. It literally changes future generations. And I think this is the point that I want to hone in on. So that's such a powerful statement. How does healing ourselves impact our children?
Well, there's a couple things on this point. So healing ourselves, there is what's called, I believe it's pronounced the Maharishi effect. And we know that there's been studies done that if one person's energy level rises, the community level around them also rises. And that's been proven scientifically. But what you're talking about here too is, so if I heal myself, I am then not going to pass on the silent inheritance to my kids, right? Because if it stops with me, I'm not going to give it to them. And so what I've seen in my own life is the changing of my own parenting from, you know, where I was before, believing in all of the stuff of that society likes to hand us, the school systems, the this, the that, you have to be this, you need to sit in the classroom, you need to learn this stuff. And then we've got kids that are on all these medications for ADD and everything else, because children are not meant to sit for X number of hours a day in a seat, staring at a board or whatever they they're meant to be playing and creative and using their imaginations, in my opinion. And so I now, having the awareness that I have and understanding that we all come here with a purpose, a divine purpose, something we want, not only lessons we want to learn, but there's something on this earth that we want to achieve. We wanted to bring something forth. Creative process is basically bringing into form that which doesn't exist, right? And so if I allow my child to follow their dreams and their hearts and their creative process, no matter. I mean, so I've watched it with my own father, for example, or my parents, where I was told, don't apply to medical school. You're not going to get in. So here's my father's anxiety being put onto me. So I don't apply. Everything I've accomplished to this point, I think I probably could have done it back then, but I believed my father. So I've watched my father try to put his anxiety on my daughter or my son. You're not going to be able to do artwork. You're never going to make any money doing that as an artist, that you need to go to school and do all these things. I'm like, hold up. Don't tell that child what she can and can't do. Who's to say you can't make money as an artist? Some of them do phenomenal. Let her follow her heart. Let her do the things she loves. And if she is here and her soul has come in to be a creative, let her create, because the world needs them too. Tell Taylor Swift she's not making money playing music.
Yeah.
She's using her creative genius. Now, that's one extreme example, obviously, but there's lots of people out there making money singing and doing music, but yet somebody will tell you, don't go to Hollywood because you're going to be a starving waitress. Don't try to even be in the movies, right? So let them live their lives. Let them be who they're here to be. And so in me, it's changed because are my kids in school? Yes. Do I necessarily wish that was the case all the time? No, I don't agree with the school all the time. But at the same time, yes, there's a certain education that needs to be in society. But at the same time, don't pigeonhole them. You know, do they have to go to college? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe their path is different. And let them follow their hearts and dreams, because ultimately they're going to be happy doing the thing that they love. Because when you do the thing you love, it gives you energy. And you're not tired when you do it. And you're happy. And your life feels fulfilled. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, don't limit other people by the things that you're limiting yourself with.
Well, sometimes think of our generation, even. We were told you have to go to college to get a good job, to grow up and do all these things, and you have to work for somebody, and you have to do this. And so for me, especially, like, you want to work for somebody else because you need benefits and you need retirement plan. And so you're working so that you can one day retire and enjoy your life. Uh-huh. And at some point, that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Why am I going to wait until I'm old and sick and decrepit to enjoy my life? I want to do that now. And why am I going to trade time for dollars, working for somebody else's dream, making somebody else rich instead of myself?
Uh-huh.
And the control of my life and my time. And there's always trade-offs when you own your own business, right? But again, it just comes down to each person and what's right for them. And so, yeah, I don't know. And so me not carrying my father's belief, I'm able to stop that here. He's always said, why do you have to be so different? And I take that as a compliment. But I'm not going to allow it to be passed on to my kids. So they will have the freedom of choice and not have to carry the anxiety of my father because I stopped.
Absolutely. I love that so much. Thank you so much for being here today and for sharing your story, your expertise, and more of this amazing work. For someone out there listening who maybe feels a bit overwhelmed right now, where do they begin with all of this stuff?
Well, they could certainly start by trying the technique that I talked about in today's session. That's the easiest thing you can do. The breath work and the kind of just going within and finding where it's sitting in the body and just try to see what needs to be done to release it.
Tracy, I'd love for you to talk to everybody more about the work that you do.
The topic for today is more the walk as her, the hypnosis, the spiritual regressions, and really what it is women empowerment. Walk as her to me means, you know, whoever her is to you, step into that person, who you're meant to be. Why are you here? What is your purpose? And stepping into your power and becoming that and dropping the beliefs that you're probably carrying from your parents that are no longer serving you.
And where can people find your information and where can they find out more about the work that you do?
Yeah, so I'm on Facebook, Instagram. If you look Walk As Her, I think Instagram is walk.as.her. And then Facebook is just Walk As Her. Google my name, you'll find me.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, I think the work that you're doing is really powerful and really needed. We're in this world now where people are just so much more focused on wanting to understand themselves. And so this is the perfect opportunity for people to learn more about themselves and to dig into those answers and, you know, find out where these beliefs are coming from. So thank you so much for doing this work and for being here today to talk about it.
Thank you for having me, Lisa.
Yeah, it was so much fun. And so for all of you listening, we are going to have Tracy's websites and where you can find out more information about her in the show notes. And I just think this episode was so powerful. So again, I want to thank you, Tracy, for not only sharing your expertise, but for reminding us that healing isn't about becoming someone different. So it's really about remembering who we were before the fear and the survival and the conditioning and the inherited patterns, which convinced us that we had to be someone else. So for everyone listening, you're not defined by what you inherited. You're defined by what you choose to heal. So thanks everyone for joining us on the show. Stay tuned for the next episode. And if this episode resonated with you and you think it could help someone you know, please send it to them and share it with them. Sharing is caring, and everybody could use healing in their life. So thanks for tuning in, everyone. Take care. Bye for now.